This morning I wanted to discuss with you three blessings of believing that Jesus is the Christ. Three blessings of believing that Jesus is the Christ. I want to begin in John chapter 1 and verse 12 with the first blessing, and that is the right to become a child of God. The right to become a child of God. If we believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we have the right to become a child of God. Look at what John writes here. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Now those who believed in His name, those who believed in His authority, those who believed that He was the one come from God, that He was the Messiah, that He was the Christ, those who believed that, they were given the right to become children of God. Now there were those within this context who did not receive Him. Verse 11, He came into His own received Him not. There were those that did not receive who He was. They did not receive Him as the Son of God. They did not receive Him as the Messiah that had come into the world. And so they did not have the right to become children of God. Only those who believed in Him, only those who believed what God said about Him, they were the ones who had the right. Now, what does it mean to have the right to become a child of God? Well, the word right refers to authority. It refers to power. It refers to privilege. And so those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, they have the right, the authority, the power, the privilege to become children of God. Now, I want us to spend a little bit of time in dealing with that expression. They have the right to become. It does not say that they are automatically children of God. It says that they have the right to become children of God. There are many of our religious friends and neighbors who believe that at the point of faith, you are a child of God. This passage and other passages do not teach that. This passage teaches that faith gives you the right to become one. Doesn't make you one, but it gives you the right to become one. Now, we're not lessening the importance of faith. No, faith is extremely important. In fact, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those that come to God, they must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We have to believe in the existence of God, we have to believe in the goodness of God, and we have to believe in the Son of God if we want to become children of God, have that right or that privilege. But faith gives you that right. It gives you the right to become a child of God. Now, as we think about that, I want you to consider one of the cases of conversion. You remember Philip and the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, in verses 36 and 37, that they are traveling along in a chariot. Philip is preaching the gospel to him. He's open to him the scriptures, and he's preaching the gospel to him. And as he's doing that, they come on a certain body of water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Do you remember what Philip said to him? "If thou believest that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may." There was a condition. That condition was believing. And if he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, then he had the right to become a child of God. That's what Philip was saying. He was saying, "You may." The word "may" there is a word that means lawful. It's lawful for you to become a child of God if you believe in the Son of God. Believing in the Son of God gives you the right to become a child of God. Doesn't make you one, but it gives you the right, it gives you the authority, it gives you the beginning point to become one. I want you to notice John chapter 12. There's another verse in the Gospel of John that teaches the same thing. We don't often use this verse, but I want us to this morning. John chapter 12 and verse 36. I want you to notice the same language that we found in John chapter 1, John 12 and verse 36. But I want you to see this because I don't want you to think that this is based on one verse. Now, one verse is enough to establish truth. One verse is enough to make it something we have to do. But when we find multiple verses that teach the same thing, they're emphasizing that our understanding and that our interpretation of something is correct. So John chapter 12 and verse 36, notice the language. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. And so notice that they are believing in the light that you may become the sons of light. Jesus, of course, was the light. He was the light of the world. He was that light that was sent from God, John chapter 1. And if they believed in the light, then they had the right to become sons of light. They had the right to become children of God. That right was given to them when they believed. And so again, we have emphasis on the same truth that we've been talking about. Now again, they didn't immediately become sons of light, but they had the right to become sons of light once they believed in Him as the light that God had sent. Let me try to illustrate that for you. In Mark chapter 1, I believe it is verse 17 of Mark chapter 1, where Jesus is speaking to James and John and Peter and Andrew, of course. They're all told the same thing, but what they were told was this: I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, they were already fishermen. They were already fishing as a living. They were already trained fishermen. They had spent their lives in that occupation. They owned a business in that occupation. So they were already fishermen. They knew a lot about fishing. But Jesus said, I will make you to become fishers of men. They were not immediately fishers of men. They were already fishermen. But it was going to take some time in order for them to become fishers of men. They were going to spend time with Jesus. They were going to hear Jesus teach. They were going to watch Jesus interact with men and women. They were going to watch Jesus as He showed care and concern and love for people. They were going to watch Jesus as He answered questions. They were going to watch Jesus as He dealt with controversy. They were going to watch Jesus and all these things. And through that process, they were going to become fishers of men. They were not immediately fishers of men. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to make you become fishers of men, and instantly they knew how to do it. No, they were going to have to learn how to do it. But this was the beginning point. They were going to become the opportunity to become fishers of men. And so when we talk of what the Bible's talking about in John 1:12 and John 12:36, we have the right to become. What it's saying is that we have the right to become children of God. We're not instantly, immediately children of God at faith, but we begin to be on that process of becoming a child of God, just like they began to be fishers of men. They were learning how to do this, and that's what faith is. Not minimizing faith, just understanding faith's role and faith's place within God's plan of salvation. But the second blessing that comes from believing is that we have the rewards of the love of God. If we believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we have the rewards of the love of God. Now, when we think about the love of God, there are some verses that stand out in our minds. One of those verses that stands out in most people's minds when we think about the love of God is John chapter 3 and verse 16. And so you may want to turn there. We're going to look at the context. But I want you to see a second blessing that comes when we believe that Jesus is the Christ. First blessing is we have the right to become a child of God. But here's the second blessing, John chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. It says that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So over and over again in these verses, we read about believing in Him, believing in His name. Emphasis is on faith. And involved in this faith that we're supposed to have, there is a contrast that takes place. There's four things really in the context that are contrasted. We have that we might not perish, but that we might have eternal life. And so we have perishing on one side, we have eternal life on the other side. On one side we have condemnation, but on the other side we have salvation. And so God wants us to have salvation, God wants us to have eternal life. God does not want us to perish. God does not want us to be condemned. That's what these verses are teaching. Now, there is a condition. If we don't want to perish, if we don't want to be condemned, there's a condition. If we want to be saved, if we want to have eternal life, there's a condition. What is the condition? Well, the condition is faith. What kind of faith? Well, faith in Him. Faith that He is the Son of God. Faith that He is the one that God sent. If we have that faith, then we enjoy the rewards of the love of God. You say, but God loved the whole world. God loved the whole world so much that God sent His Son into the world. That's true. No question about that. God loves the world. But who enjoys the benefits of that love? Well, is there not a condition? Does verse 16 not give a condition? Even our religious friends and neighbors accept that there is a condition that's given in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a condition to enjoying these rewards, these benefits of the love of God, of having eternal life, of having salvation. There are benefits that come with the love of God once we believe. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 36. We continue to emphasize this. Again, we're looking for more than one verse that supports the same thing. In verse 36, he says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So here we have this contrast again. We believe in the Son, we have everlasting life. If we don't believe in the Son, then we don't have that life. We have the opposite of that. We have perishing. We have the wrath of God, the condemnation of God, instead of the salvation of God. That's what happens if we don't believe. Go to John chapter 8 and verse 24. John chapter 8 and verse 24. We continue emphasizing what the Bible says about the condition of faith and the blessing that comes from faith. Verse 24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." And so if they did not believe that He was the Son of God, that He was the one come from God, if they did not believe that He was God, He said they would die in their sins. That's perishing. That's being condemned. They were going to perish. They were going to be condemned unless they believed. Go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, we continue along these same lines as John builds his case. John 11, 26 and 27, the verses we want to notice. He says, "And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Again, the emphasis is on believing that He's the Christ, believing that He's the Son of God. And if you do that, you're not going to die. You're not going to perish. You're going to enjoy this eternal life. Let's go a little further in the Gospel of John. I want us to go all the way to John chapter 20. Look at verse 31. I think this will establish it as well as we can. John chapter 20 and verse 31. In verse 30, John tells us that there were many other signs that Jesus did in the midst of His disciples that are not written in this book. Then he says in verse 30, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through His name." And so again, we have the life that comes through believing. We have this reward that God gives us, eternal life that God gives us. God loves everybody, but those that enjoy the rewards of that love are those that believe. Again and again, that's emphasized. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. John writes this as well, and John in 1 John is going to emphasize what he's been emphasizing in the Gospel of John. And that is that if we will believe that Jesus is the Christ, that we can enjoy the rewards of the love of God, that these rewards will be ours. You remember in 1 John chapter 4, what does he say about God? He says, God is love. Same thing, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And so God is love. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Again, we have this faith in the Son of God and the blessing that comes from that, and that blessing being life, eternal life. This life that's in the Son, this life that can be in us, this life that we can enjoy. So the first right, the first blessing that we have from believing that Jesus is the Christ is the right to become a child of God. The second blessing that we have is the rewards of the love of God The fact that we won't perish, we won't be condemned, but the fact that we will be saved, we'll enjoy eternal life. We can emphasize some other verses that go with that point as well. What about Acts 16:31? Paul's having a discussion with the jailer. And you remember that the jailer wants to know, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What did they tell him? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household." You believe and you will be saved. You see, there's a condition. You have to believe that He is the Christ. You have to believe that He's the Son of God. And if you do that, then you enjoy the benefits of God's love. You enjoy salvation. What about 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where Peter says, "The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God doesn't want men to perish. God wants men to come to repentance. God wants men to be saved. So we see the second benefit of believing. But now let's notice the third and final benefit of believing that Jesus is the Christ. Go to John chapter 5 and verse 38. John chapter 5 and verse 38. This is stated in a negative fashion, but I think we can make the application. John chapter 5 and verse 38, this is what Jesus says about believing and the benefits of believing or the consequences of not believing. Look at verse 38. He says, "But you do not have His word abiding in you, because whom He hath sent, Him you do not believe." So God's word was not abiding in them. They did not have the residence of the word of God within them because they didn't believe in the one that God had sent. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ. And as a result of not believing in Jesus Christ, the word of God did not abide in them. It did not continue to be in them. I want to illustrate that for you. You remember that Jesus told the parable of the sower. You remember in the parable of the sower that there were four types of dirt. There was the wayside soil, the stony soil, the thorny soil, and finally the good soil. Now, in which of those four kinds of soil did the Word of God abide? In which of those did it continue? Was it the wayside? Oh no, it landed on the top of the ground, and then the birds came along, and they picked up the seed, and they carried it away. Well, you say, well, what about the stony soil? It came up in the stony soil. Yes, it came up very quickly. But it didn't abide there. It didn't continue there. It didn't stay there because the sun beat down on it. It withered and, of course, it died away. It was gone. What about the thorny soil? You say, well, it came up and it was growing. It was doing really well. But then the thorns came in and the thorns choked it out. So it didn't abide there. It didn't stay there. It ended up getting choked out and perishing from there. It only abided or stayed in one soil. And that was the good soil. Luke defines it as a good and honest heart. That's the heart that receives. That's the heart that believes. That heart, the Word of God abides, continues to be in that heart. So you see, one of the rewards that comes from believing that Jesus is the Christ is the residence of the Word of God. The Word of God comes to be in us and it remains in us when we have that faith. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 1. We're making some connections with what we've been studying. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Look at what John says about the Word of God and who the Word of God abides in. Because John wants us to understand this truth. He's already establishing the gospel. Now, this is what he says. He says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." The truth doesn't abide in us. It doesn't stay in us. Why? Because we're denying something that the Word of God says. Ultimately, they were denying that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus had come in the flesh. But here in the immediate context, they were denying that they had sinned. You see, when you deny one, the consequence is the other one goes with that. When you deny that you've sinned, you deny that you need a Savior to save you from sin, that Savior being Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Here's another consequence of not believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God's word won't stay in you. God's word can't abide in you if you don't have the faith in God's Son. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. "He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Here again, John says, listen, if you don't believe what God tells you to believe, then the Word of God is not going to stay in you. It's not going to abide in you. It's going to leave you. you're either wayside soil or stony soil or thorny soil, but something's going to choke that out. Something's going to dry that up. Something's going to take that away if you don't accept that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a pretty simple presentation of the gospel, isn't it? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Number one, you have the right to become a child of God. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you don't have the right to become a child of God. You don't have the right to be baptized. You don't have the right to be born into the family of God unless you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because that belief gives you the right. It gives you the right to become a child of God. Number two, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you get the rewards of the love of God. You get eternal life. You get salvation. You don't perish. You don't suffer condemnation. That's a blessing that comes from it. But then the final blessing is the residence of the Word of God. The Word of God not only enters your heart, but it remains in your heart. It grows to produce fruit within your heart because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I got a simple question for you this morning. It's a question that we ask everyone that wants to obey God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because that's the starting point. If you're willing to believe that, then that belief will cause you to turn away from your sins. That belief will cause you to put into words your faith. That belief will cause you to submit, to be baptized, that you might be a child of God. You see, faith gives you the right to become one. Baptism is what makes you one. You can be a child of God this morning. But then the Word of God will be in you. And as long as you, as we talked about in Bible class this morning, as long as you continue to read and study it and obey it, it'll stay in you. It'll live in you. It'll be the guide of your heart. You won't be guided by a conscience that can be good or bad. You'll be guided by the Word of God that is good. You'll be guided by this light that God's given for our pathway, Psalm 119:105. This morning, those blessings and privileges can be yours, but it all begins with faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, or you need to come home and be restored, we invite you to, as we stand and as we sing.